I'd like you to have your Bibles open, please, on page 667. At Noel Hill this morning, two people said that he'd never read Proverbs chapter 31 before. And I've never preached on it before, but I did run through my talk with my wife. I thought I wanted to just check that I wasn't too far off what she felt it was saying as well. But let's just pray. Lord, we're waiting on your word as our first hymn prayed, and we wait upon you, Lord, whatever our condition, whether we're widows or widowers, whether we're married or single, and we ask, Lord, for your word to speak to us, to guide us. For Jesus' sake, amen. When I first came to Wargrave, I was listening to Radio 4, and I often had a bit of paper in my pocket, and there was a 102-year-old woman who was on her own at home, living very self-sufficiently, and the interviewer said to her, "Do you have any worries?" She replied, "Not since I've got my youngest son, aged 82, into an old people's home." And it was just so good to hear that. But you thought, this wonderful, strong woman. But I wonder what your experience of family life has been like. Children do worry about their parents. Here's 10-year-old Talia. "When your mum is mad at you and at your dad, don't let her brush your hair." You can imagine the hard tugs through her hair. And here's a crafty one, 13-year-old Alicia. "When you get a bad grade at school, shirt your mum when she's on the phone." Well, today it's not my teaching on women. It's not even a man speaking, because Proverbs 31, which first talks about the wise king, then the noble wife, are the words of King Lemuel, but actually they aren't his words, but the words of his mother, which she taught him as an oracle. Now, there's no such king as Lemuel recorded in the history of Israel. So Lemuel was probably originally a pagan king, perhaps in North Arabia, who was a convert, probably like his mother, to Judaism. So these are words of a mother on motherhood. And it shouldn't surprise us to find it here in Proverbs, because parenting is a big theme in all 31 chapters of Proverbs. It speaks of mother and father's responsibilities elsewhere to teach their children the ways of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. And just the Song of Solomon is perhaps particularly a gift to married couples about sexual love. So Proverbs chapter 31, the whole of Proverbs, has much to say to parents and children. So verses 10 to 31, the words of a woman about the noble woman. It's a cameo of the excellent mother or wife. Now, the aim of Proverbs is to make us wise, not self-confidently streetwise, but self-givingly God-wise. And again, we're given pictures in the book of Proverbs of what wise people do and don't do. So we're given the fool, we're given the wise person, we're given the adulteress, we're given the sluggard as a negative image, and then the ant as a picture of industry. So here we come to the wise wife, the noble wife. And there's much to learn from it. And it's good to have it, because Proverbs sees the world in binary terms, black and white, and there are no shades of grey. And we have portrayed earlier the woman adulteress in Proverbs. We have the nagging wife. And if you just have those bits, you might have a rather sort of small view, a negative view of what it means to be a woman. But actually, what a positive view here we're given. It gives us a good version of the bad versions of women, which have been earlier in Proverbs. Indeed, the Bible is so pro the dignity and the wonder, both of women and of men, and tells us how God desires they should be. But this song is very different to other songs, indeed, to other sculptures of women. Just think about the sculptures or the things you can read in any museum about women. Think about what you've read in literature down the years. So often the praise of women is either for their physical beauty or for their erotic appeal. Not so Proverbs 31, which celebrates her character, her virtues. In our sex-saturated culture, it's refreshing to have a song like this. In our culture of celebrity worshiping, how good to have this glorious picture of womanhood. If you like, this excellent wife incarnates so much which the first 30 chapters of Proverbs have been teaching us. And some have suggested that she surely must be fictitious, as surely there can't be a woman like this. Well, of course, she's a woman, it seems, from a certain social echelon, something quite wealthy and well-heeled in certain ways, but she is seen here as a real woman. You can't tell from your Bibles, but those verses are in the original, verses 10 to 31, an acrostic, where each verse begins with a different letter of a Hebrew alphabet. If you like, this is an alphabet of wifely excellence, as Derek Kidden, the Old Testament scholar, puts it. It's the A to Z for an excellent wife. And it gives us a picture of the complete woman, what her godly role can be. Now, women here, this is not to send you today into a guilt trip, but to give you something also to aspire to. And men and women, in a world where we have constant bombardment of what is not honouring to God, well, this gives us a correct view as women and as men of womanhood. It applies therefore to all of us here, because every one of us here is either male or female. It applies to us when we're married or unmarried, when we're single or divorced. These are verses for each of us, not for someone else. And if you're a woman, whether or not you're a mother or married, aspire to live like this. Men, if you're planning to get married, marry a woman like this. You see, this chapter is a valuable directory for marriage choice. And the assumption of verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? Question mark. It means that men will normally be looking for a wife. And if you're married, you should be appreciating the ways your wife is like this. Well, here is godly wisdom for us. And the first thing to mention is the worth of this woman. Verse 10 to 12. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And verse 29. Many women do noble things, that you surpass them all. Such a woman of great worth is hard to find, but this passage teaches it's not impossible. It's not impossible to find a woman like this, though it does seem to be quite rare from what Proverbs says. And yes, a wife is worth much, particular worth to her husband. He trusts her. That lovely picture of the excellent marriage as well. Full confidence, lacking nothing, brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And the worth is because of her character and deeds. Then verses 13 to 27, there's a summary of the many things Proverbs already teaches earlier on in this gathering of wise sayings. And this wife is the one who's putting all the things mentioned before into practice. It's a strong marriage, bringing good all the days of her life to him. And interestingly enough, I didn't realise this, I dug down a bit into the text with various commentaries. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. You see, what that's saying is that physical intimacy is to be enjoyed. And do you notice how she pays particular attention? It's a shock on Sunday morning to think about this. Pays particular attention to the marital bed. It's comfy, she's attractive. And that is in marked contrast to the adulteress earlier on in Proverbs, because actually, the way she is attractive to her husband. And good sex in marriage goes a long way preventing bad sex outside marriage, which tragically so often, perhaps among friends or family, we've seen the effects of that. She's a good mother as well. She's like the merchant ship, bring her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Verse 19, in her hand she holds a distaff and grasps a spindle with her fingers. Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. See, all those things are mentioned, or most of them earlier on, in the sayings in Proverbs. And may I say, verse 15, I think by my own mother bringing up four of us, being a good mother involves incredibly hard work. And I think us husbands and us children so often forget that. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family. Now, it may not be in quite that way, but you think about the hard work. The mothers known to you, our own mothers, perhaps you as mothers or your wives do. Incredible hard work. Again, I'm taken back to earlier in Proverbs. She's the opposite of the sluggard who's castigated. Sometimes people, indeed one or two of you have said to me when I first met you, I'm only a mother. There's nothing only about being a mother. And us men need to beware of asking that question, because we always think it means you're employed outside the house. Men, who's working harder? Is it you if you're married, or your wife? I think I have a hunch I know who it is in our family. It's not me. The primary sphere of work is the home, but it is also from the home is built a growing business. So verse 13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Verse 16, she considers a field, buys it out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. And her activity outside the home does not affect her commitment to the home. In fact, it benefits the family, and all done outside the home brings blessing to the home. Her work, her business is profitable, but with some of it she also is able to care, verse 20, the poor and needy. That's another great theme of Proverbs, how we treat those who are in need and poor. And yes, she's a woman of good works and good words as well. She speaks with wisdom and faithfulness, and instruction is on her tongue. Well, you say, John, that's a hard call, isn't it? Where on earth does that all come from? Well, the engine is mentioned in verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And the collection of sayings in Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 7 begins, "A fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It comes from the fear of the Lord. There's that contrast in verse 30 between fearing the Lord and mere beauty and charm. I'm not saying that beauty is wrong. This woman is far from dowdy and is clothed in fine linen and purple and is busy making the marriage bed appealing and attractive. Beauty is not wrong, but beauty is so ephemeral, it's so short-lived. If I choose my wife for her beauty, I shall love her no longer than that continues. But if I love her for her virtues, then all the other sandy foundations may fail, and will fail, but my happiness remains entire. The worth of this woman, this noble woman, this wife and mother. I conclude, though, with another word. We move from worth to praise. Verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. The children are grateful, but in her busy life, they're a priority. They're grateful for their mother, as I hope we are today, most of us, for what we've had in life. They're also, such a wife, a great joy and strength to the husband who praises her. Question mark for us husbands. Do we praise our wives privately and publicly? A question for us children: do we praise and thank our mothers if our mothers are still alive? And more than that, not just the children and the husband praising, but also God praising her as well. You see, that's by implication, because such a woman is one who fears the Lord, who is to be praised, says the writer. And more than that, the last verse, at the city gate, the community praises her. Let her works bring her praise at the city gates. I know women like this, and have been most fortunate to marry one who's been very good and patient with me. But I want to take you to other noble women. I did a little word search in a lectionary of this phrase, noble woman, in the Bible. Does anybody else know where that might occur in the Bible? It's in the book of Ruth. Oh, I've beaten you to it. There's something about, were you about to say Ruth? I think, was that, I just go and check that. That's very good. I didn't think about one. I didn't come across that as I searched, but I must check that. She may well have been, but the noble woman I'm thinking of is actually Ruth. Not a book we read very often, but it's a good book for all of us to read, perhaps especially women. And a woman of noble character. My mind, when I looked on the words, it took me back to the book of Ruth. And Boaz meets this pagan woman and sees something of the beauty of God in her. She's following the God of her mother-in-law, the living God. And Boaz says, "You are a woman of noble character. Be like Ruth. Be like this woman, please, women here." We want to let the word of God and not the world shape us. And fearing the Lord will shape our parenting, our marriage, our work, indeed even how we treat the poor and needy. But you know, I think probably reading this as a wife or a mother, reading it as a husband, we're full aware of how far short we fall of that. Yes, fearing the Lord should shape all we are, but we don't always fear the Lord as we should. Well, let me take you back again to why I've gone to Ruth and not elsewhere. Ruth, the wife of noble character, married Boaz, and they had a son called Obed. I won't test you now, but Obed was the grandfather of David. Then think of the narrative in Matthew 1 and where Messiah came from. See, David was many, 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 many times the grandfather of Jesus Christ by lineage. So in fact, this noble woman we see in Ruth, through her, salvation has also been brought to us. I end finally with two other verses. Luke 2, verse 52. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. We all need, don't we, to grow in wisdom and stature. And even the perfect Son of God did that year on year. Well, you see, in Proverbs, we're given wisdom as women and men, as parents. But I want to take you now to our failure, because later on we take bread and wine. And of course, Paul can talk about how Christ is our wisdom. And the foolishness of God in Christ works for our salvation. I conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to pagans. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. May the word and the cross be strength and wisdom, indeed salvation, to us all. Amen.